I think that's what I've from TV adverts for claims for you. I've figured out that the only kinds of workplace accidents are being given the wrong kind of ladder.
Oh no, you can fall on a puddle of water and there's no cone out.
Yeah,
oh shit.
Oh.
And you're also wearing high heels.
Always.
Yeah.
I work as a painter decorator and my employer had given me the wrong kind of ladder. I claimed £10,000 and I have never been happier with my life.
I managed to buy that new car that I wanted.
I managed to complete my collection of 1973 pornography.
That's right, 1,973 issues of pornography magazine.
Ah, we're right excited by my 19 grand settlement. So I went out and I bought 43 train timetables from 1942. And then I sold them again on eBay and lost all my money.
Turns out they were just basically pieces of paper. With irrelevant pieces of information. Because I don't know if you know, but timetables from 1942, all the times have already passed and none of the timings are accurate for the current service.
And I thought that there was some sort of market for that, but no.
Also,
it seemed like there would be. It's the kind of thing that people like to collect. Trains, times and tables. From Joe Thompson, we've got ham hands.
Ham hands. Is this a reference to Richard Herring's comedy podcast in which he posits the question, which I will now posit to you now? Would you rather have a ham hand or an armpit that dispenses sun cream?
An armpit that dispenses sun cream.
The ham hand, I'll give you the details here, will grow back.
Oh.
You can eat it.
Oh, right.
Okay.
But it'll grow back, right?
Mm.
Over the course of, like, let's say, a few days, it'll grow back at the kind of like a superior but still not instantaneous rate. But the armpit that dispenses sun cream has enough for about a family each day. So you can't monetize either of these.
It's just for you.
Just really for you and your family's use.
An armpit that dispenses sun cream?
Yeah. How much sun cream do you use?
Like,
in Sheffield.
I've got very pale skin. It's, does it dispense sun cream against your will?
No, you can just...
Does it dispense it whether you want it to or not?
Lean to the side and pump your arm like you're doing a fart noise with your armpit, and it just sort of gives you a bit of sun cream.
You see, yeah, I'd have that.
Yeah? You wouldn't like to nibble on the...
No.
Because that'd be like biting your nails.
Yeah.
Sure it would, but also, if you get trapped in like a... What was it, 28... No, not 28 days. What's the thing where he gets trapped, where he gets his arm trapped in the thing?
Oh, 127 hours.
127 hours. You get trapped in that sort of situation, you are golden, my friend. You can chew your own hand off. No
but
problem.
Would you let someone else have some?
No.
Oh, or worse, would you bite someone else's ham hand?
I think I'd bite someone else's ham hand. I'd have to know it was clean.
Yeah?
Sorry, I think that just broke me. The very straight way he just went, I'd bite someone else's ham hand.
Yeah, I'd bite someone else's ham hand. Don't question me on this.
From My Waste of Talent, we've got Confectionery War. It's a sweet one.
Oh, man. I think this is like confession. This is like Catholic themed.
Confection.
Yeah, exactly.
Confection.
Ooh.
You're attending confection and you've got to sort of like these. It's like this is a Willy Wonka branded shirt, like religion. Yeah. And instead of taking confession, the priests take confection.
They take confection.
How does war come into it?
Well, it's a religious war, isn't it? Because
it's the Crusades. So you've got you've got the infidel Bertie Bassett, and the Haribo Haram.
Haribo Haram. I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Okay, maybe not that one.
Haribo Haram.
I don't think so. Yeah. What if it's the Harry Buddhists?
Yeah, much better.
The
Harry Buddhists.
The Harry Buddhists. The Harry Bikers.
Oh, there you go. It's the Harry Bikers.
So they're all different warring religions. Like, they've taken this to the extreme because some people like chocolate and some people can't stand boiled sweets. Some people, and it's just got out of flipping hand.
Is this in the land of sugary treats?
No. We're not doing another animated food thing. This is not Sausage Party again. This is like chocolate, boiled sweet, and gummy themed religions in real, right?
Okay.
Capitalism has ruined the earth. And so.
Yeah, but what about the film?
No one knows how to bake goods anymore, as well. It's just those three.
Well, the lost art of pastry, as well.
But actually, it is an underground, like, it's a legend. The legend of the Belgian.
Waffle.
You guys saying Confectionery War could be Confectionery Wars, the franchise?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Weird fantasy post-apocalyptic Confectionery Wars franchise.
The art of the Danish. And like, and in fact, like Denmark is like. A wasteland.
Oh, right? Yes.
It's like Waterworld.
And with it, like covered in icing. Yeah. And with it went the last knowledge of how to make the perfect Danish, which is like.
Oh, it's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. And I don't know how these fights go. I assume there's a lot of custard pies and like.
Because we've franchised it, I think we can just sort of make a story in this world we've built.
Yeah.
And I think it's trying to find the recipe for a Danish pastry.
Yeah, it's like an Indiana Jones thing.
Yeah, yeah. During the war, I guess.
Oh, so like a kid from a small custard town. Has been told that, like, he's like, they're all poor because nobody uses custard in anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, after the rhubarb and custard, after the destruction and sacking of rhubarb and custody, they all went out of work. They're all like peasants in this confectionery world. But this kid has been told, it's Millie Bobby Brown, and she's been told that there's a secret somewhere under the great icing tundra of Denmark. Somehow,
icing tundra.
You can
that.
Cook with custard.
Heresy.
that's what
that's what the other villagers say. There's just Millie Bobby Brown's kind of grandma.
Yeah,
grandma.
Well, no, that's,
basically Moana.
Yeah,
but basically Moana, but in this weird, weird world. But she's also chased by some zealots from the boiled sweets. Sect,
and they've encased their head in boiled sweets.
Fucking
it's
hell.
Like Mad Max, where they're like sledging across this icing tundra, led by these dogs that are like they've somehow
they're all in pinstripe suits, with humbugs for heads.
The leader's clearly a guy called Murray,
and they've got. And they've got only Dalmatians and Huskies, right?
Yeah.
pulling their sleds.
No, they've been pulled by. Oh no, it's not the same as gummy, is it? No, pulled by gummy bears. I guess would be the thing.
I don't think that's a species.
Oh no,
bear.
just on the ice. On
no,
the
just polar bears, just spray painted, just gummy bear colours.
You got these giant white gummy bears on the icing planes.
Yeah. Again, are you just pitching that film that's coming out soon? The one with the giant opening mouth buggy thing that's got London on top.
Oh,
the trailer came out recently. It's like Iron something or
Mortal Instruments.
No. Mortal Instruments. That's
it. Is that no? That's wrong. Hmm? Mortal Engines.
Mortal Engines. That's it. Oh, right. Yeah,
Mortal
yeah.
Instruments is the different
sexy pale vampires, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care. Mortal Engines. Yeah, it's just like these guys are like sort of they've got a giant gumdrop castle like on tracks. It's just
well,
like
the thing
pursuing
is, the guys with ball suits have got the best armor.
Yeah.
It's Brill.
Yeah, whereas like she's come from Custard Town, where it's pastry. Her armour, I guess.
Lost pastry. So it's like, she's not got much. She's got powder. She's got custard powder. Mm. And then she can mix that in to make, like, oh my goodness. Have you seen Avatar The Last Airbender?
No.
Any of it? Like,
yeah.
People can, like, channel elements and, like, move water around with their mind. She can do that with custard.
Oh my god, so when it lands on the boiled sweet guy, it melts his head.
Yes. So we've got custard benders.
I think this takes place in like Western Europe. This is the whole thing in Western Europe because at some point, like, we only nod to this very briefly, that in the time before Western Europe was all confectionery based, this was all converted to feed these giant, like, American sort of like super rich people who demanded more and more and more. They call them the Colossals, and they're like an ancient race that they think that's the religion. They think
and
they've got to serve
Denmark,
the Colossals.
Denmark was lost when they commissioned the world's largest Danish.
Yes.
And it just like the ovens exploded.
Yeah, and icing just everywhere.
Yeah.
The whole place is ruined.
Yeah,
gone.
Icing got spilled into the fjords.
God,
the whole thing just went...
This
exploded.
Is too good. I think we should leave this there.
Yeah, yeah.
To leave people wanting more, because I think this is too good an idea.
Can we start a D&D campaign?
Oh, yes! That would be so good. Oh my God, yes, let's.
Okay, so we've got a few fun ones here. We've got one from Ross Originals, and that is cheesy one-liners.
Nice.
So it's just 4 hours of my stand-up set, basically.
Or just my life for the past few years.
This is a rom-com. I think that's a rom-com where a cheesemaker and a stand-up comedian fall in love and their careers take them apart, but it's only when they get booked and they kind of split up. It's only when they get booked for the same cheese tasting event for like a supermarket chain that they reconnect over the over this event. And I don't know, both of them have been kind of under the thumb of their agency, like the comedian by his agent, and who's trying to ruin his comedy for the sake of trying to get onto TV or whatever, and making more money, and as such has just sort of, he's ended up not doing the thing he enjoys and more so doing like the corporate gigs.
Oh, so it's Kristen Wiig and Aziz Ansari.
Yes,
as the stand-up.
It's
a good call.
Kristen Wiig is. Just
a scatty cheesemaker.
She makes a cheesemaker, but she's a cheesemaker. She's like an artisan cheesemaker, and then like she's been hooked into doing like stuff for supermarkets, and then like at that point, that's when they decide that they're gonna choose each other over their
careers.
And
that's the name of the shop they open at the end.
Yes.
Oh,
cheesy one-liners. Yeah. It's a comedy club in which the ring is really sweaty. In, you know how hot comedy clubs are. It's just like horrible, sweaty cheese.
A comedy club that exclusively just serves cheese.
Do you know what? I'd
specializes
go there.
In
I'd go there. Yeah, I would go there.
Cheese and wine.
Yeah. Be a good time, that, actually. The lowest contribution we do is $1 a month, and you get to vote on the genre we do every week, which is like nothing. It's like 20 cents, 25 cents a a vote.
And, right, get this. You could be on the ground level because we get so few votes a week that your vote is almost definitely the deciding one.
Yeah, we get two votes a week.
Because of the way that our patrons work, and I'll just talk a little shop for you guys, is they hate us, kind of. So they they vote deliberately to split the vote and and to try to make us just try to not make a decision. So yeah, if you wanna hop over there and give us $1 a month, you could be the hero Gotham needs, but not the one it deserves.
No, yeah.
Or you could be the one that splits the vote.
Yeah, another split in the vote.
I sort of just got that Batman bit, right? You know, the Gotham, you're the hero Gotham needs, but not the one it deserves. So it's obviously...
And now I'm using it everywhere.
Obviously... No, I just got it when I said it. obviously what it means is Gotham is a bad place and deserves bad things to happen to it, but it needs a hero. I interpreted it as Gotham deserves a different hero than you. Like, Aquaman should be here. Like, they're not...
Comic book Aquaman or Justice League Aquaman?
Why not both? Gemini.
Yeah.
two kinds of Aquaman.
Gemma Moe and I.
two kinds of Aquaman. Two flavours.
The three flavours Aquaman.
That's Aqua Fresh.
Yeah. Minty. I should never thought about Aquaman being minty before.
Or toothpaste.
From Charlie Gascoigne, we've got "You'll Never Escape Burger Boys."
Oh.
The Burger Boys, played by Sean Connery and Ian McKellen, have been in prison for...
Oh, it's "You'll Never Escape Burger Boys." Has it got a comma?
No, I'm just putting the comma in there.
Oh, no, you know what this is, right?
What?
Did you not... Okay, so I've got... Okay, have you seen the terrifying Bioshock-style KFC training video? It's a virtual reality tour in which, like, it makes you do virtual reality cooking KFC.
What?
And the colonel comes down and goes like, looks like you haven't made the perfect chicken yet. I better show you how. And then, yeah, it's weird. Don't find it, Tom. We'll breeze past it. Because, right, so if you've seen the KFC training, VR training video, if you haven't, go watch it on YouTube. Just pause the podcast, watch it on YouTube. It is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
It's scary. But think about, if you know the game Bioshock is like that, but with the colonel.
Yeah, and also you're in VR, so you really feel oppressed. Anyway, so...
Do you do marketing for Oculus Rift?
So I'm just thinking, so you've got Sean Connery and Ian McKellen, right? Mm. They're the Burger Boys, right? They have a chain of burger restaurants.
Okay.
Who are recruiting. They're recruiting a brand new, like...
Fresh intake of
people to flip their burgers and make stuff and whatever.
Taken like, exclusively from like parolees and...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They've got to be like ex-cons or homeless people or people that basically rich businessmen would feel that are worthless, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Because this is in America and they have a prison industrial complex. Yeah. So... I mean, we do as well, I suppose.
You there. Tattoos are not optional. They're mandatory.
I'd like to see you working really hard in this family restaurant, Burger Boys. Come with me off the street here, and we'll don't worry about your drug addictions. We'll bring you in and we'll get you straight and set up with your own accommodation.
We have our own people that give you heroin.
So they lure these people into Burger Boys, like this Burger Boys training center, which is weirdly a bunker.
Yeah.
The bunker from 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, it's bigger than that, Tom.
No,
it's about 10 of them stacked next to each other.
It's the bunker from Blast from the Past.
I haven't seen that.
Is that
the Brendan Fraser?
Yeah. I thought so. I haven't seen that since it came out.
Wait.
So Brendan Fraser, raised by vaguely. Christopher Walken underground, comes up with a rare baseball collection.
I thought that was called Blast from the Past.
I honestly thought you were about to say, I thought we pitched that.
there's another film that was I'm sure Brendan Fraser raised in a who's like been in a bunker for a while and comes out.
I'm sure
it might be the same one.
I'm sure it's Blast from the Past.
It's called like something Rock. It's like a really weird name.
Bedazzled.
No. Oh my god. Anyway, so
let's leave that.
Yeah.
This bunker is huge. It's a huge facility, right? Mm. All staffed entirely. They find out by robots.
Okay.
And like, so these robots at first are like trying to get people to ostensibly like sit down and enjoy these. And enjoy these training things, right?
Yeah.
And the training things, they sound like they're the start of a corporate training thing for food.
And there's the odd, weird little throwaway, like where you're not quite sure if they've got the AI wrong or something. It's, yes, you'll love working us, or you'll eat well here.
Yeah.
It sounds like you've put a foreign language through Google Translate and churned
out. How I have most of my social interactions. it's things like you'll eat well here.
Or it puts weird emphasis on in key skills, self-defense.
No, just puts them in invisible inverted commas.
Yeah.
Self-defense.
No.
But like, it shouldn't be there anyway.
Key skills is definitely self-defense. It's like, key skills are like teamwork, self-reliance, weirdly like next to each other. confidence,
teamwork,
tenacious,
tenacity, a sense of direction. Dexterity, and then finally self-defense. And then it's like, okay, they go through a few of these like weird indoctrination things. I think we follow someone. Okay, who's believably homeless?
John Leguizamo. How do I pronounce
John Leguizamo? I know the name, I don't know who.
Luigi from Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah. He's totally feasibly homeless.
I was going to say Benicio Del Toro, and I was like, there's a theme coming here.
Hispanic.
I mean, I think Benicio Del Toro is also a good shout, though.
Yeah,
right? He is a little bit crusty.
Yeah, I just like the really kind of just little wiry sort of fast talking.
And Tommy Wiseau has just come out of out of prison along with Vin Diesel. And so, like,
oh, yeah.
There's a few other characters here and there.
And weirdly, Ricky Gervais is just the guy who. No, Stephen Merchant.
White collar criminal.
Yeah, obviously.
Yes. So,
the funny thing is, I was going to give this a Get Out vibe and cast, like, what's his name from Star Wars?
John Boyega
and Keenan and Kel.
I was also thinking, because there should be a racial context to this, because it's like the American prison system and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like those guys were arrested for like not paying rent and then not paying bail or something. Like this is the sort of
just weird trumped up sort of
being poor was their crime.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant is a white collar criminal. Do you want
Johnny Lee Miller as kind of just same role as in Hackers? So it's like an aging hacker who's kind of, he's done 30 years and can no longer do anything or function.
And then we have
or Johnny Lee Miller from Trainspotting.
Oh, that and that
and that as well. Yeah, hacker heroin addict.
Who could feasibly be just old enough to go to prison, like just miss juvie? What is that kid from the Maze Runner? You know the kid?
No, no. I they all look the same.
I'll just say Zac Efron. It's fine. Yeah, right,
yeah. They all look the same to me in The Maze Runner because I've no idea who any of them are. They just
don't care about any of them.
That kid from Game of Thrones who like looks 13 but is actually like 38. The swamp people who like are complete.
Love Actually, where he's like
the Liam Neeson's kid from Love Actually.
He's I don't know what his name is, but like he looked 8 and he's like 54.
He was in a BBC kids drama called Pig Heart Boy, I think.
Right.
And oh yeah.
He looks the same age in that. That was 1998.
Anyway, we're gonna call him. Chin, right? Yeah. No, chin strap, because he's got a little tiny beard. Like he's got he's only just growing in a beard, and that's how we establish his age. Was the what do you call a really bad beard?
Like whatever I have.
Bum fluff.
Bum fluff. Yeah.
Bum fluff.
So people
people call him bum.
They call him fluff.
Yeah, that's good. No, bum fluff, because that's got two meanings in prison.
Yeah. Oh God. So anyway, he
Jesus Christ.
He got put away for hacking into something or calling a SWAT team on someone. He's really like.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's
vibing
that's
with the
technology
thing. Sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
So he's there, and he's probably our POV character because he's like he sees the fact that this is weird before everyone else. Everyone else is super. What do they call it?
Yeah, we've got jobs.
Yeah, we've got jobs, or super like used to being in the prison system. That this is just
another
thing.
Institution.
Institutionalized. But when the kind of floor is pulled out from under them, literally, and there's a labyrinth below.
Leading to a fight arena.
Yeah, yeah.
They've lovingly called Combat.
Well, I think this is very much the hostel vibe, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
It is a giant labyrinth in which whenever two of the great style of labyrinths, when you move where the walls move to try and force you towards each other,
yeah.
And when the people meet, they get forced into one-on-one deathmatch style combat. But there's also like failed genetic experiments, death robots down there. It's the Running Man, but like but sort of weird KFC fast food vibe. Because yeah. Instead, death robots.
Right. You can't just say okay.
The mascots. For Burger Boys, which is a burger with big, long, stripy arms, and
so it's the Hamburglar.
Yeah, kind of the Hamburglar. it like walks on these two French fries.
Yeah,
it's like a tripod, like from War of the Worlds. It's sort of like moving along on these giant French fries,
just over the walls of the labyrinth.
Okay, so as soon as someone dies, clearly they're kind of the corpse just get dragged off into a wall,
yep.
And becomes burgers.
Yes, oh yeah, it's because
the little spaghetti strands coming from the burgers, just like swallowed up.
That's the high class Burger Boy burger sauce. Is ground up
convict.
Yeah. Wow, why did we go capitalist cannibalism so frequently?
Because it pays the bills.
Because it's such a relevant theme in this day and age.
Because eat the rich. Yeah. Do it.
Consumerism good, right guys?
Eat the rich. So how do they get out? Is the thing I think we have John Boyega.
They just die.
We have John Boyega and Fluff, right?
Yeah,
and they are like they battle to the end. They both have to like John Boyega. I think he was a martial arts instructor before he got couldn't pay rent, couldn't pay bail, put in prison.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's like fighting his way through Tommy Wiseau, who's coming at him with a giant with a trident for no reason.
He's like, hello, Johnny.
Hello, Johnny, I'm going to stab you with my trident. It's my favorite. It's a big fork.
If everybody killed each other, then the whole world would be happy.
At which point, Benicio del Toro comes in with a with a halberd, which is just a giant. They're both styled like giant plastic knife and fork.
Yes.
and then you see Sean Connery leaning down, like, because their faces are up on this big screen.
Yeah.
Kind of presenting
100
to...
100 foot high.
Why did I just have that as a given anyway? Like, before you said it, I was just like, yeah, no, they're watching giant faces are just projected.
But not only are they watching, they're watching themselves watching.
Yeah. And the thing is, also thousands of other... CEOs and rich people are watching also. It's like pay-per-view.
Yes. Literally the Hunger Games.
Yeah, kind of. So anyway, I
knew this sounded familiar.
But we've got to start theming this more like
fast everyone's really hungry.
So far we've got the tripods that are burgers on top of French fries.
Oh,
yeah. We've got the giant knife and fork.
Oh, we've got ninja sushi assassins.
Yep, okay, we like that. What else? There's got to be... anyway, at some point...
Oh, the gravy reservoir.
Yes.
Like, so they get locked in
boiling
lake of gravy.
Yes. And then
KFC gravy is like...
Oh, no, it's boiling oil.
It's fucking lava.
And that.
Yeah, there's giant robot hands that come down. And actually, it's Sean Connery. He's got... Physically, he's like VR puppeting his hands. And you can see him going... I'll just take you from over here and I'll fry you in the good old-fashioned way. And he, like, starts trying to dip John Boyega into it. Well, in fact,
Keenan from Keenan and Kel trips over and falls into a giant cage, which gets lifted up.
Yeah.
And like, who did I say got lifted up? Keenan.
Yeah.
Kells was like, no, it's my friend. He's dipped into a vat of boiling hot oil.
Just unflinching 3 minute long take. Yeah. Just this. So Keenan getting teabagged in hot oil.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a Darren Aronofsky film.
And Ian McKellen's in the back of shot, being like, looking down, being like, I could probably do with a little more salt because he's tasting this like blood red sauce.
We got some tears from probably, his friend over here.
Could probably do with a little more salt, and then just giant rocks of salt tumble down this enormous hill, smashing and crushing into pieces.
Yes.
Like an avalanche. I
want to see this movie. I really want to see this movie.
How did our two protagonists get out, right? John Boyega and Fluff. I guess they've got to use his hacking skills for a start, right?
Yeah.
So they somehow managed to find a way to, like...
Okay, so the giant claw grabs not John Boyega, but Fluff.
Yeah.
Picks him up. Because he's small and wiry, he kind of scrabbles out around, shimmies up the arm,
mm-hmm.
Finds some kind of...
place to plug in. Or finds a, like, steals. He's now... Yes. Okay. So instead of people, like, Skyping in and watching this thing, there's a giant ring around it, which is a huge restaurant. Right?
Oh.
So, you know...
I really want to eat that.
and you can only see the silhouettes of all these people, but they all have like massive fondant hairdo type things, right? Huge, like that you can see that they're rich just by their silhouettes.
Yeah.
It's like purple backlit.
Hunger Games ridiculousness.
Yeah. And now Fluff is in this party. Like, he's hiding behind he's hiding behind the trolleys. He's like, and he steals someone's phone. And now he's, like, calling Ian McKellen and, like, pranking them to help John Boyega get out of this whole thing.
So he's not just calling the police.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's got a phone. Wait, no, he's a criminal.
He's a criminal.
He's not allowed to hold any sort of computer anymore.
Yeah, yeah, if he calls the police, they're A, going to try and arrest him. B, you're not going to turn up a thing and have like three of the most, like I don't know, 50 of the most the richest people in the world and like just go, oh, you're all under arrest, because they're just going to lawyer up and you'll never get anything out of them, right? They're untouchable.
You'll never get anything out of them. The police have turned up to a restaurant in which there's a...
They have
a Thunderdome.
They turned up to a perfectly normal restaurant. Which is on top of the Thunderdome. The Thunderdome is underground.
Yeah.
Built into the side of the Grand Canyon.
Clearly. It would be, because that's Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense for it to be there.
Yeah.
And, of course, he can't call the police because he's violating his parole condition by leaving the state.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's, in fact, this whole thing is an analogy for how capitalism allows you not to get arrested. Because at the end, Sarah McKellen is about to get away with it, right? I think Sean Connery has already been...
Sean Connery, he falls victim to
Tommy Wiseau, like... comes up behind him, like they get pushed. Yeah, I tell you what it is. They get pushed into Fluff pushes Sean Connery into the Thunderdome, right?
Yeah.
And at which point he's like broken his legs because of this fall. Then Tommy Wiseau's there with a fork and he's like 99,
and he's got the knife that he's taken from the other guy.
Yeah.
He's
like giant.
Massive knife and fork sawing away at Sean Connery's.
I like the idea of Tom Wiseau is a cannibal character.
So he
just eats people anyway.
He's a serial killer, absolutely. Tommy Wiseau is a serial killer.
But he's wearing shades the whole time. Yeah, I quite like that idea.
Hi,
Johnny.
He's about to get away with it, right?
Yeah.
He's about to sort of like, oh, the police are like, oh, I guess you're free to go. And John Boyega sees this. He's like, no way you're getting away with this. Dives at him. Now they're in the main restaurant, the legit restaurant that's above this, right?
The legit one that's above the cannibal restaurant.
Yes.
Which is above the Thunderdome.
Yes.
Right, okay.
There's like the cover.
Yeah.
The cover that's above ground, this one. And he's like, no, not a chance. Dives at Ian McKellen. Slips his handcuffs, dives at Ian McKellen, and just slams his face into a deep fat fryer. Beats it over and over again until Ian McKellen's dead. And then obviously John Boyega goes back to prison, and that's the bittersweet ending. Is that like?
Oh, instead of the fryer, can he just like put him into a massive grinder like they do in Kingsman?
Yes. Why not?
Yes.
So that was You'll Never Escape Burger Boys.
I think it's pretty good. It's a nice pulpy 80s action movie.
I really want to see that movie.
Well, watch The Running Man.
Then Hunger Games twice.
Okay, so we've got on from... Phil Walters, and that is Burgers for Breakfast.
Burgers for breakfast. This is going to be a lot more stripped down, isn't it?
This is a rom-com.
Yeah.
This is a rom-com. So you've got a couple.
Yeah.
He's a just massive fuck-up. I'm thinking kind of Parks and Rec, Chris Pratt.
Parks and Rec, Chris Pratt, not Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you didn't say Seth Rogen. Because...
he's everything. No.
He's also in my bad books.
Oh, no.
Just for being.
He's just garbage.
He's a garbage human being.
Chris Pratt and...
Oh, Anna Faris, clearly. Now they split up.
Now they split up.
Just to make things awkward.
Yeah.
We want the most awkward film. Flipping manage.
Yeah. Artsy black and white.
Okay.
Yeah.
Artsy black and white. So, opening shot is kind of white sheets. Anna Faris is in bed. He's just got up, so it's kind of a messy bed. He's just got up, looks back... disappears, shouts like, I'm going for scratches or something.
Mm.
4 years later, he turns up like 6 in the morning, like just completely trashed with burgers.
Right. Okay.
He's like,
okay.
You'll never guess what happened.
What happened?
Do tell, Ed.
Please, what happened? I need to know.
So the truth is he was not abducted by aliens.
Okay.
So he just got ran over and was in a coma or something. Suitably tragic.
Okay.
No ID because he's an undocumented immigrant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt, undocumented immigrant.
Yeah, he's Irish.
Yeah.
Ginger. Yeah. Chris O'Pratt. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Chris P. Rat.
Chris P. Rat. It's food related, food I guess. Related. Yeah.
So he kind of wakes up, long 9 minute, 2 minute montage of him getting his memory back and all this time. Yeah. Meanwhile, she, kind of Anna Faris, just finds someone else.
Get someone with her life, yeah.
Yeah, get someone with her life. New husband dies. I don't know. Gets hit by another truck or something.
She knows how to pick him.
Oh, she does. She does. So then he kind of just comes to a sense of, comes back and kind of thinks, well, shit, I can't just walk back into the love of my life after 4 years with nothing. hits the nearest drive through.
On the way there, she drives past a Burger Boys. We've got to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Build the cinematic universe.
Build the universe. So. Goes to a Burger Boys, comes back, and this is just like the first 20 minutes of the film, where kind of this all happens. He comes back for burgers for breakfast, and
I think she kicks him out. She kicks him straight out because, like, if he's been gone, she didn't know where he was, right?
Yep.
As soon as he walks in, she's gonna be like, "What the fuck? Get out!" Because she thinks he's just been gone,
and he's giving it the old baby. I was in a coma.
Yeah, and she's like, get the hell out of here, right? At which point, like, he says, "Well, okay, I'm going, but like, I'm here at this number and this address. If you need contact me, I've just got out of hospital and all that stuff, right?" Mm. At which point, like, and he leaves the burgers, and he's like, ooh, drops the burgers in like, kind of sadness and sort of like walks and
slumps away in slow motion.
Yeah, and so like she I want to say like at some point she like wakes up, realizes that she's basically got nothing since her partner died.
Yeah.
She goes to the fridge. She's got no food in the house because she's been mourning her husband.
Yeah.
For the past like year. And she hasn't made friends since. Mm. She hasn't, like, been out. She doesn't... She orders to take away in a lot of the time. Mm. So she finds herself, like, eating one of these Burger Boy burgers because she's got nothing else. So she has burgers for breakfast. And she's, like... confident writing. And
she keeps saying that as well.
Yeah, oh, I can't believe I'm having burgers for breakfast.
It's a massive, like, novelty. Ooh. Burgers for breakfast.
Yeah, Mom, we've been doing this for the past 6 months.
Oh, she's got children now.
Yeah.
Okay. And she, I guess, I think she, like, looks down at the card and then she, like, shakes her head and she goes, nah, I couldn't possibly, like, call him back. Not after what he did, disappearing for 6 years. And I, like, now I'm kind of lost because I don't know how dramas work, guys. So I think there's got to be something she runs up against, in her job, in her professional life, that makes her realize it just before he sets off to go somewhere else, right?
Oh, yeah, she's chasing him out of the house. She's had the burgers, yeah. So it's been like 10, 15 minutes, whatever. Mm. She's chasing him to kind of figure out where he goes. I really want to say then she gets hit by a truck as well.
Well, how about this? She puts him from...
Sorry. Burgers for breakfast. The film where every member of the cast gets hit by a truck.
It's the same truck just driving around the block.
Burger Boy's truck.
Yeah. An interview with the director. Well, it originally started as a film about a killer truck driver, but then...
Then the studio got involved.
We really fell in love in the writer's room with a couple of the characters, and just we thought, well, why not make this about them?
Yep. What happens between the truck heads?
That really came into being when we started editing the movie, and we found out that we don't actually have that much footage of
an evil truck driver. You know, it was really. It was really a romance, and a romance that I think we can all sympathise with, or empathise.
It was funny because we shot 30 hours of footage about this romance, and only 2 minutes of the truck driver.
And there's a story there, really. Mm. You know, you can start out life like a runaway truck. You know, you can start out with your idea of the world. You're going to bulldoze every obstacle on your way. But I'll tell you, love gets in the way. Love will stop you in your tracks and you will never turn back.
And of course, we could only afford the truck and driver for 30 minutes.
Which was the main problem.
Why we call it burgers for breakfast, I have no idea.
Well, you see, Tom, in it they have burgers for breakfast.
And that's it. That's...
Yeah.
That's yeah. Burgers for breakfast. Killer truck driver.
Somewhere bouncing around in my brain there, I had like the seeds for a something, but it would not have been that good. I had the seeds for a serious drama where people like resonate with each other across the bounds of time. Nah. No, fuck it. Truck driver.
Hit by a truck. I really want to know who's driving the truck.
We never find out.
I think that's part of the part of the intent behind the
film.
All
you see is like Quentin Tarantino's hands, like in Inglourious.
We just see hands on the wheel every time that it's a thing that like, you know when that truck's coming.
Yeah,
and you just see hands on the wheel like, bam, and then at the end the door opens and it's just on Chris Pratt's face. You see. The
thing from the Addams Family.
You see the truck driver's
just hands.
You see the truck driver's feet on the floor, and it looks up at Chris Pratt, and Chris Pratt goes, "Oh, it's you." And
it's
then
you.
Cuts to black. Yeah.
Burgers for breakfast. Yes.
Take a subtle directorial trick for analogy for the intent of the author and put it into the middle of a limelight where it can't take that much scrutiny. Nice one, Tom.
Yeah.
If I'm famous for doing something,
it's being too obvious.
Hungry movies. I put words up on the Patreon for genres. Hungry was one of them. I didn't know where it was going at the time.
What were the other ones? What did they choose Hungry over?
There was...
Train.
Train has still not
train
been...
Train has still not...
Train has been there since the beginning.
Nobody wants train movies.
Nobody wants train movies. They're too easy.
You're missing out.
What were the other ones?
There was Train, Prison. I think we did Prison.
Yeah.
Art House.
Mm-hmm.
What else was
there? And then there's Hungry. That was the fourth
Hungry,
one.
Yeah, that was the fourth one, but I'm sure there was more weird ones before that.
Anyway.
Education.
Education was the other one, yeah. Hungry movies, Hungries that revolve around or are kind of exemplified by the food in them, right? Or eating.
Yeah. Sausage party.
Sausage party.
Good burger.
Very good. Yeah, well remembered. I mean, for me...
Ratatouille.
That's a good one. I did, like... I think I did this with Education. I was looking for a film to reference to post.
Right, yeah, but to put in the picture.
Education movies. Completely forgot School of Rock.
Everything.
Every one of them.
Yeah,
you learn something from Education, from every movie.
What about Hook?
Hook, is that
There's a schoolroom. There's a schoolroom.
There is. I was talking more about food, though, because they have that imaginary
Food fight.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I like that is the single most vivid
Come
memory.
Come on, Peter, you're doing it. You're beginning
there's
to
There's an imaginary
imagine.
Food fight.
Have you not
Hook.
Seen Hook?
What? I haven't seen Hook. But
get out
there's
of
an
here.
Imaginary food fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. That's...
And Robin Williams takes a blast in the face like a cheap... porn star.
I was going to say...
Yeah, he's Hook.
Dustin Hoffman is Hook, and Bob Hoskins
Bob Hoskins is Smee. And a rare cameo from Phil Collins. as one of the police officers. See, I always used to get Bob Hoskins and Phil Collins mixed up, and they're there together in the same movie.
How? Bob Hoskins and Phil
they're
Collins?
They're both short, bald, and British.
But one is Bob Hoskins. The other is Phil Collins.
I was a child.
The other is Bob Hoskins, a.k.a. Mario.
Yeah, Super Mario.
Whoa, whoa,
Super Mario.
Whoa. That is my favourite movie of all time. Bar none. Closely followed by Street Fighter the movie.
You're saying that with a look of sincerity on your face.
You've seen the tattoo?
Yes, I have, actually.
You've seen the tattoo?
Is it Bob Hoskins' face saying Mario, Mario, and this is my brother Luigi Mario?
Close. It's Samantha Mathis barging in at the end of the movie saying, guys, you're not going to believe what's happened.
Thank goodness you're here.
Me and my brother last week, we watched Return of the King, and you know how there's like a fuck ton of endings to that movie?
Oh, yeah, ends like nine times.
Yeah, ends like nine times. I was... As we were watching it in a state of like flued up delirium, just coming up with
the only way to watch Tolkien.
Yeah, it's how he wrote it. Coming up
Pretty
with
sure.
new endings to add on to the end of Lord of the Rings. One of them being when Sam walks into the Hobbit hole at the end, Pippin barges in and goes, "Sam." We need to go back! And then it just cutting there. Like, Frodo's gone. It's
that'd be amazing.
Like, the fact that, like, Frodo's given him this book, right? Mm. This is another ending I've come up with. He'd given him this book and goes, there's room in there for one more story. And then he just winks at him. And then the scene cuts, but I think it cut there because it ended in an argument. Just like, it's not going to be as good as mine, though, is it? Really?
No, I think
mine is the Lord of the Rings.
There's room, but top.
I think there's room in there for one more story. Nah, I think you've used most of the pages here.
Yeah. Have you seen the length of any of the Tolkien books?
There's not much room after any of them.
There's room for about old Tom Bombadil, but that's it.
Frodo, why have you described a cave in nine pages?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, Tolkien did a good thing there, didn't he? By saying that his characters wrote this book, he totally washes his hands of all the terrible writing he did.
Oh yeah, it's their problem.
Hobbits are the wordy ones, not me.
I didn't write them with a West Country accent, they just have one.
Oh dear me. Okay.
Another ending for Lord of the Rings came in the form of, like, you know how when Aragorn gets like crowned at the end?
Kind of.
And you know how, like...
Oh, that the you bow for no man bit?
No. Like, he gets full-on crowned.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, you bow to no man.
I'm welling up thinking about it.
He says it to the four hobbits. Yeah, but when he gets crowned, and then everyone's cheering, and it's like, they have no fucking clue who this guy is. He turns up from the north.
Out
of the blue and just goes, yeah, I'm your king now. Deal with it. Like, I want to see the amount of endless, pointless side quests he had to go on to win over the favour of each individual person.
Can I introduce you to a wonderful book series called A Song of Ice and Fire, in which basis of the Game of Thrones series, in which every character has to go through a series of ridiculous side quests to try and win over the favour of everyone in the place.
And most of them die.
Yeah.
Can I stop you? I stopped listening after you said, can I introduce a book to you?
See, what I wanted to see was the kind of the endless council deliberations. You know, that's, right, I'm the king. Prove it. I've got a sword.
Can I introduce you to a TV series called Star Trek?
No need. It's been done.
It's just like, you're not my king. I'm like, yes, I am. Well, I don't believe you are.
I didn't vote for you.
He didn't vote for you. Yeah, there we go.
Help me find my sister. She's been in the woods for 2 days.
It's not The Witcher, Tom.
Exactly. This is what I was aiming for. And like the fact that they go back to Hobbiton in like amazing outfits now, and like I was just thinking,
swagged all up.
That's how you know they're the king, right?
Yeah,
they got a fancy hat on.
Another one, another ending is the guy who runs the pub at the end comes in and goes, "Oh, we've got some rat problem down in the cellar."
If Lord of the Rings was like an RPG. Yeah.
"We've got some rat problems down in the cellar." Oh, Gaffer. way too over-leveled for this shit now.
I thought I'd forgotten something before I left on this unexpected journey.
"No, thank you, Gaffer. I've got enough XP already." Because they're all apparently pirates. Yeah.
I knew I had something in my quest log.
It's like one
get
quest.
Back. Shit, I still had it open.
That one miscellaneous quest you've just been missing for.
Because you got through the unskipped, like the cutscene that didn't allow you to return from it.
Yeah.
Right.
The threshold has been crossed.
Anyway, let's talk about food movies. What's your favourite food-based moment in a movie?
Favourite food-based moment in a movie would have to be the end of Ratatouille.
Okay, you know, I've never seen it.
Where
so he
eats horrible food critic, eats Ratatouille, and then whoosh, that massive flashback to him as a child eating Ratatouille.
Oh, I've seen that.
Then
bit,
he cries, his heart grows three sizes, and then he dies. Wait, hang on.
He dies?
No, I may be getting confused with the Grinch. Who should have died if his heart grew three sizes. Yeah. That's called cardiomegaly, and you need to get that checked out.
Tom, what's your favourite food moment in a film?
Mine would be a Space Jam.
Okay, what are they eating?
They're eating jam.
Where are they eating it, Tom?
From space. I don't know who's in it.
Was this a goof?
This was a bit. Food-based...
You've got me.
Matilda.
The Bruce Bogtrotter?
Yeah, Bruce Bogtrotter eating the cake bit. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Heck. Aside from mine, which is Hook, the imaginary food fight, I'd have to say maybe just the start of A New Hope. Aunt Beru's blue milk.
Also, The Last Jedi milk.
Aunt Beru's blue milk.
The green milk from The Last Jedi.
Where it's explained where they got the milk from.
Not going to spoil it for anyone. I know, Ed, you haven't seen it. And to be honest, this will spoil the best moment of the film for you.
It'll spoil the entire plot. The entire plot revolves around sci-fi fantasy milk.
Damn. It's too late for my NaNoWriMo
Ed,
now.
Ed, the funny thing about that is you think we're joking.
I'm kind of hoping you are.
There's a lot of shit that we could say about The Last Jedi in which you'd be like, they're joking. We are not.
My favourite food-based moment, I'm going to have to undo mine. It's not Ratatouille anymore.
Okay, we'll unlock that. Chicka-ding, chicka-ding, chicka-ding.
Boom.
Just got to... It's quite a long, involved process now.
I
just killed the rat.
You've caused quite a lot of...
No, that helps.
You've caused quite a lot of admin now. I've just got to... I'm just opening the safe. There we go. Okay, now...
Right, it is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. OG, not remake, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously.
When Augustus Gloop falls into the chocolate river. I wanted to be Augustus Gloop as a child and just drown in chocolate milk.
I mean, wouldn't we all?
Death by chocolate indeed.
Nice. I do like how every one of our... Now that I've said Hook... what is it?
Space Jam.
No, Hook, Matilda. Bruce Bogtrotter, and Augustus Gloop. All of them are some kind of violence implied.
Oh,
<food.
laughs> mine is pretty violent.
He went in the chokey.
Did you see
the size of it? He wouldn't have fit in the chokey.
He's forced to eat an entire chocolate cake, and then another one gets brought out.
He's forced to eat a slice, and he's like, it's fine. And then she brings out the rest of the cake.
And, well, it's abuse. Anyway.
not to him, it's not to us.
It's dessert.
I'm pretty sure it's typified in the book and film and stage play that he does not enjoy the bit after the first slice.
Yeah, fair enough.
The crowd seem to go for it.
Yeah.
The crowd definitely do. They're all into it. They're like, go on. Go on.
Go, Bruce, go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Jeff Beard, we've got the Gas Trick Band.
Oh. Okay, so you've got a poltergeist magician.
Good start.
So
good
we've got
start.
The Gas Trick, and there are four of them.
Oh, it's
both able to harmonise, all able to harmonise at different notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's the three uncles from Casper the Friendly Ghost. And obviously the trick is, the three of them, they need to get the fat one to lose weight.
Mm.
So not only are they a gastric band, but one of them gets a gastric band fitted.
But also one of them is called Rick. As he's a gast. He's a gast Rick.
Clearly. Yeah, yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
I feel like we haven't got a movie here. We've just been playing with ideas around the title.
What if... There's a band that's been doing really well, and they're a brass band, like a colliery band. They're supposed to be on national TV.
Played by the uncles from Casper and the Friendly Ghost.
And the problem is that they have gotten so out of shape they've become too comfortable in their position as the local champions of
it's Brassed Off
band.
2
yes
it's Brassed Off 2
the Gastric Band.
Pete Postlethwaite, clearly they're in spirit,
and the problem is, right, they've gotten too out of shape. They can't blow through their instruments enough. They've got their lungs have wasted away to the point where they can't blow through their instruments, so they have to try to do a hoax where they've got bags of air and they're like squeezing them. They're doing gas tricks with like to blow into their tubas and stuff. They've got an elaborate series of like canisters, like pressurized canisters, to try and blow into them.
Yes. And you've still got Stephen Tompkinson there, follow same character, dressed in full clown makeup. Because that weird B plot in Brassed Off, where Stephen Tompkinson is actually a struggling children's entertainer. No, I'm right. I am right. It's wrong, but I'm right.
It's the one that's wrong, not you.
Yeah. Clearly. So, yeah. So. Stephen Compton, full clown, obviously suffered away from black lung, so he's they were colliery band.
Yeah.
So none of them can breathe. They've got the CO2 canisters, they've got whoopee cushions, they've got a big pair of bellows, like a three-man pair of bellows, just to blow into that massive euphonium.
But the problem is, right, that the rival brass band, who's got... I love how this isn't a food-related thing.
I know. I thought about this, like, I think before we even started properly pitching this, I was like, this isn't a food-related one.
Yet.
Yes, right. Yeah, that's the thing, because one of them's a chef. But it'll come into play in a minute, right? Because the rival group are all really thin, right? They're all really skeletally thin. And they're trying to tell, trying to show the producers of the one show who they're competing to be on.
The right? Nigel Hung for Brass Band on the television.
The one show, BBC's one show.
Yeah. The only place that you could get a brass band on TV and take it seriously.
Unless they all die in a bus crash.
Apart from Songs of Praise, I guess.
Songs of Praise. I mean,
not
BBC,
even brass, that,
BBC
is
the only real channel you can have a brass
not
band
BBC
on.
Not BBC 3, because that's a bit... Bit more.
Oh, no, just BBC One.
Oh, definitely.
Just BBC
One. Prime time grandma viewing.
Yeah. Just BBC One, weirdly, is the only place I'd take a brass band seriously.
So anyway, they're going on the one show.
Even though Brassed Off is a Film 4 movie. I'm pretty sure.
And it's like they're practicing like... And they're doing that whole... doing the one show theme.
I didn't even realise what that was.
He was pantomiming the horn blowing. And his fingers were moving to operate the valve. It was brilliant.
It was a very good mime. Anyway, they're practicing away and they're trying to not let... this rival band exposed them for making for doing this gas trick. But it all comes to a head when one of them peeks in through the window while they're practicing with this whole what do they call it? Rube Goldberg machine of brass. And one of them like peeks in. And Kevin Eldon is the main bad guy in this. He's a sketch comedian.
Oh, right.
He's on all of the BBC comedy shows.
You probably will have seen him then.
He had his own show at one point. Anyway, he's like, oh, I think you've been cheating in the last few competitive brass band-offs, you horrible people.
Those brass band offs.
And so they sit him down and they're like, oh, why don't you? The chef like goes, oh, you know, why don't you have a bite to eat while we try and talk this through with you? And then they poison his food and then he dies.
Yeah, becomes the fourth uncle from Casper.
Yeah, and then they bottle his ghost and put it into a canister and use him in the one show brass band off.
Yeah,
that's the end of the film.
The food-related movie Gas Trick Band.
They get away with murder.
That's the tagline.
Oh, they have to eat his body. There yeah. you go. Done.
Yeah, there you go.
I love the tagline to a film being "They get away with murder," and you thinking it's the metaphor, but no, like that just happens at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Here's the thing, Tom. How many films in which the tagline, I bet there's a couple, they get away with murder, have the plot, they get away with murder, because I bet it's all of them.
Yeah. Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.